Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Yankees and Gravy. Thanks for tuning in. I am your host, Tommy Casabona. This is the only podcast that I've seen that is basically from the fan perspective, having to do with the New York Yankees on a fairly regular basis. Like I said, this is the second episode for the year. Hope you're going to tune in regularly. Hope you'll be a part of the show each and every day while I get warmed up, while I develop my chops, as they say in the business. If you can't tell, I really don't know a whole lot about what I'm doing. I'm not a professional broadcaster. And I promise also, I'm not going to continue to disclaim that for too much longer. But like I said, you know, you're just trying to do your best out here. I love the New York Yankees. If you're listening to this podcast, ideally you do as well. So let's just spend some time going over some stuff, talking about the New York Yankees. Coming up, within the next week, 2 weeks or whatever, I'm going to make this interactive as I feel a little bit more comfortable on the microphone and a little bit more comfortable with the podcasts. I'm going to set up an email address. I already do have a Twitter at Yankees and Gravy. You could check that out. But I'd love to get an email address going so that I can get some questions coming in and have like a little bit of a back and forth. I know there's tons of you out there who probably know more about the New York Yankees than I do. So I'd love to get your opinions, get your feedback, and also learn from any of the information that you guys might be able to give to me. But let's get right into it. Pitches and catches are in camp. So this is, who said it? So there's a bunch of deadlines, a bunch of timeline dates of note that you're going to be looking out for. So that's the first one. The first sign that baseball is in the air is when the pitches and catches get to camp. That happened, I believe it was a couple of days ago. But most starters and most pitchers are throwing their bullpen sessions, you know, 25, 30 pitches on most of them. Some of them are doing more, some of them are doing less based on, I guess, you know, their off-season programs, also based on what injury risk they are. But so far, so good. I don't think anybody is hurt yet. I did hear a rumor about Pineda getting some stiffness, but I didn't hear that it was anything serious at this point. He seems healthy. So let's talk. Girardi had a press conference when he came to town. I guess he does that every year. And he didn't give you a whole lot. You know, Joe's a smooth guy. You know, he knows what he's doing. He will tell you stuff you kind of already know. If you listen closely, he'll read between the lines. He'll give you some little caveats that you can pick up or at least, you know, interpret how you will. What he did say his biggest concern was the starting rotation. Coincidentally, that is going to be the main topic of this show. We will go into, I guess, the projected starters. There is a projected starting lineup. It's not set in stone, but we'll see where it goes. What he wants to know also is, I guess when you do pick out those back end of the rotation guys, you're also, when you consider them, you're considering who is basically, you know, almost the guys who are limited and not strong out of the bullpen have an advantage to make the starting rotation, because if you can pitch out of the bullpen and start, a lot of times that's going to be a curse, and some of these guys are probably going to fall victim to that. I think he said Chase Whitley and Adam Warren, while they're both not ruled out for spots in the starting rotation, probably it's going to end up being Capuano, because of the fact that Capuano is just not known to be a reliever, and he's a journeyman pitcher. He's set in his ways, and you probably don't want to take him out of that comfort zone. So these guys are probably going to, you know, probably going to end up being in the bullpen. However, they did talk about the idea of using six starters. Now, I think Girardi downplayed that a little bit, although it was funny because when it was relayed to CeCe was like all over it. CeCe was like, that sounds good, you know. Let us get, at least in the beginning of the year, kind of let us ease into it, this and that. We'll get back to CeCe in a little while, but it's kind of telling where his head's at. He, you know, there was a time, what was it, 5-6 years ago, when CeCe Sabathia could not get enough innings. If he could pitch 12 innings, he'd pitch 12 innings. If he could pitch every third day, he'd pitch every third day. So CeCe seems to be coming to grips with his mortality, which is understandable. You know, 34 years old is not old, but 15 years in the league and having taken on the amount of innings that he has, it's a lot. What else did he say he was concerned with or looking into or things that were up in the air. The batting order. It doesn't seem like he knows exactly what he's going to do with the batting order. One thing about Joe Girardi, though, he is very, very much a I'm not going to say sabermetrics guy, but he is definitely a matchup guy. He definitely is a numbers guy. He's got that binder. He wants to know lefty-righty combinations. You know, he believes in that stuff heavily. It kind of bothers me about him a little bit. I like to, the traditional lineup where your first guy is a fast guy and he can steal bases and get on base. Second guy, still fast, but can get the bat on the ball, move him over. Third guy is your best average hitter on the team, the guy who can, you know, real strong RBI guy, can get a lot of doubles, get a lot of singles, and basically a pure, your best pure hitter. Cleanup guy, that was always your banger, the guy who could kind of clear the bases with one swing of the bat, high slugging percentage guy. Then you go to your fifth guy and sixth guy. These are guys who, you know, a little bit of a combination of both, you know, probably your 250, 260 to, you know, 17 to 20 home run guys. And then, you know, you're just filling in the bottom of the lineup with the guys who are not the strongest hitters. But Girardi is really, really about that lineup, the matchups, the righty-lefty stuff, and he switches it up a lot. So I don't know, you know, does it really matter? Because is there going to be a set lineup? Girardi kind of, like I said, seems to just shake things up all the time anyway. What else did he mention? He was talking about the closer, closer role. Now, who knows what's going to happen with this? I think Betances should get it. I think he earned it. He proved himself last year. And I think that I don't even think there should be a competition. I think it should be his role to lose and let the bullpen eighth inning guy, whoever, you know, the fill-in guys, the matchup guys, the lefty guys, let them fall where they may. I want Betances as the second coming of the Mariano Rivera. Obviously, big shoes to fill. But if you look at the stats, he actually had a better first season than Mariano Rivera did. All-star. You got to really think about what this guy did to be an all-star. He was a rookie middle reliever, and he was just that unhittable. He had that many people take note of him to where he made himself an all-star, which, you know what I'm saying, that just, you don't even get the full year, you get the first half of the year to be able to showcase yourself, and he did it. So I think Betances should be the closer. This year, like we talked about in the last podcast, it's one of those years, I don't know, I'm starting to warm up to the fact that, you know, and let's just say it's not going to happen, but let's just say it did. If we don't get the injury bug, if things fall where they may, we could have a really, really good baseball team. We could. Maybe just, you know, wild card at best is, you know, cutting them a little bit short. But I don't know. A, you know, it just can't happen. You know what I mean? When is there a year when young, healthy guys make it all through the year, let alone guys who are past their prime? It seems like we are getting younger, but are we getting better? That's the issue. So let's just, you know, that's the beauty of spring training. That's the beauty of pre-spring training, is that everybody is coming in healthy. Everybody is fresh. There is a feel of optimism. You're in first place. Today, the Yankees are in first place. So you're talking about, you know, and then you look at these names, and you look at the history and what they have done in the past, and if they could just kind of rechannel even a little bit of what they brought to the table in the past. You're talking about Beltran, Teixeira, McCann, and A-Rod. A-Rod, obviously, you know, I think anything out of A-Rod north of 15 home runs would be considered gravy. But who knows? Who's to say A-Rod doesn't have a 25 home run season in him? I don't think he does. Don't get me wrong, I don't think he does. Now, we're not getting into A-Rod the person yet. We're just talking about the Yankees as a baseball team. McCann has to come back. He has to have a better year than he did the year before. Let's just maybe chalk it up to that one-year adjustment, New York City, you know, getting his feet wet, new team. Tex, we already know about Tex. Tex will never hit for average like he used to ever again, or for as long as that the shift is happening. Nobody, I don't think, in baseball has fell more victim to this new trend of shifting than Mark Teixeira. But he still can hit the ball out of the ballpark 30 times, and drive in 90 to 100 home runs. And the guy a lot of people are predicting to be the best potential hitter on the Yankees, the best bat, the biggest bat, is Carlos Beltran. And again, nobody doubts that Carlos Beltran can hit. It's just a matter of, will he be able to stay healthy? That's it. And even when he was in the middle of his career, it was always an issue. Will he stay healthy? He's older. Hopefully, Girardi, that's another thing Girardi does that I do like, is that he seems to know that he has an older team on his hands. And he even mentioned it year ago. When possible, he's proactive in getting guys days off. You know, don't wait until that's his philosophy. Don't wait until they start, you know, getting those nicks and pains and bruises, that soreness. Don't wait until, you know, that ankle's getting, you know, twisted, or, you know, or the hamstring is getting pulled. Give them the days off before. Preventative days off is what I think what he was calling it. And I do like that, especially with a team this old. What else are we talking about? That's pretty much most of the stuff that Girardi was talking about. He did also mention the fact that he feels as though this year, more than any, it's a competitive camp. The 40-man roster that they're going to be dealing with is going to be very, very competitive. Now, here's what I think. That may be true about regarding who makes the team, but I really feel that this year, more than most years, the starting lineup is pretty well set, and I'm sure there'll be changes based on injuries, based on whatever, but it does seem that the starting lineup kind of is what it is right now. I think we all know it. Not batting order, but at least position by position. Excuse me for 1 second. That's the beauty. That's what sucks about the podcasts. You talk a lot. You're talking on your own, so your throat gets dry, and you don't have those callers. You can't take a call, so while the caller's talking, you take a swig of the water to, you know, take away from that dry mouth. But, all right, let's get into some of the things that we're talking about lately in Yankee news. A-Rod's letter. I'm going to keep this short, guys. A-Rod's got to shut up. I don't want to analyze what this guy says. I don't want to analyze his handwriting. I don't care what he says anymore, basically. I'm not saying this guy's a bad guy. He's obviously been proved to be a liar. He's obviously made a lot of mistakes. We all make mistakes, so I'm not trying to judge the man. But what I will say is that at this point, he's got to shut up and he's got to just play baseball. It's going to be amazing how, you know, 5 home runs in April will, how much better of a guy he will be, and how much more he will be, how much more loyalty he will regain if he hits 5 home runs in April and gets on base and wins a couple of games for us in the early part of the year. I don't know. That's just how it works. If he sucks, if he, you know, is grounding out every play, striking out, looking every time he's up, it's going to be a long season, and it may be a short season, actually, realistically. If A-Rod can't play, if he proves that he can't play, they may cut him. We'll see. Tanaka threw a bullpen. We'll get more into Tanaka because I want to go over the rotation pitcher by pitcher. But Tanaka did throw a bullpen, and no problem so far. Like we talked about last podcast, this guy's 26 years old. I don't know if they should have messed around with this guy. You got to obviously kid give it up to the doctors, and you know they know more, but what the fuck? If the guy tears his rotator cuff and his shoulder goes and he needs Tommy John, it's gonna be a whole big I told you so. And it's gonna be a no brainer that it should have been done in the middle of last year when it happened, because he would still not be ready, but you're talking he'd be ready definitely. Maybe by the end of this year. I think Jabba did that with that timetable. But at the worst, definitely by next year. He will not. If he tears it in spring training, I don't think he's ready for next year, right? I think the timetable on that is a year and a half or so. Getting into the rotation, I wanted the theme to this podcast to be the rotation and how things look and how each individual piece to that rotation measures up. Going back last year, I felt good about the rotation going into the year. You know, it looked good. You had a good, solid group of guys that all, you know, CC was in a different play. You just felt better about the rotation. You felt like you had a solid starting five last year. But what happened, obviously, I think within the first, I don't know, third of the season, at some point or another, four of the five guys were not on the rotation. Were not in the rotation anymore. Eventually, everybody was. Actually, no. Did Kuroda make it the whole way through? I think at some point, everybody from the rotation was out. The original 2014 projected rotation was out. And you have to. You just have to kind of think that you're not going to get that. The luck has to turn. At the same time, this year's rotation is littered with question marks. Let's get into it first. Tanaka. The guy obviously stormed onto the scene, was probably the best pitcher in Major League Baseball for the first portion of the year where he pitched. He was unhittable. He was a rock star. And he was something that was worth watching. His starts, it was like his starts were a can't miss every time you went out. You know, when Tanaka was pitching, you wanted to be there. You wanted to see it. You weren't missing the Tanaka games. He pitched, I guess what he did, 21 pitches in a bullpen the other day. So, you know, no pain, no nothing, no problems. He says he feels good. He says, you know, he feels healthy. He did his regular workouts all year. He did his throwing, worked out. He said he didn't do anything different except focus more a little bit on the shoulder. And he did more exercises in his regular workout that emphasized strengthening the shoulder. Other than that, no real significant changes to his workout. And, you know, hopefully that's going to be just the ticking time bomb that you're going to hear about all spring long, all season, all summer long. Is Tanaka going to hold up? I think there will be a point where if he makes it out of spring training and makes his first, like, gets through, maybe if he gets through that cold, you know, April and early May months, maybe after that there'll be a little bit of a relaxation. Maybe they'll open things up for him a little bit and let him pitch a little bit more. But you got to think there's probably going to be an innings limit on him. I mean, shouldn't say probably. It's going to be definite. It's just going to be a matter of how long that goes into the season with. And then you got to remember also, innings limit means extra strain on the bullpen, and we don't want that. So ideally, Tanaka will be back, and he will be at full strength, and he will be that frontline ace that we saw last year. If you can read between my lines, I am not 100% comfortable or confident that that's a guarantee, but what else are you going to do? Hopefully it'll work out. Speaking of question marks, CC Sabathia. So CC, I guess the good news is he did come in over 300 pounds. He came into camp 305 pounds. Everybody was wondering, you know, what the hell's wrong with CC? Is he on crack? Whatever. He was really being in shape and trying to take a proactive approach towards just being healthy in life aside from baseball. And for whatever reason, he just didn't pitch well. I don't know. Some people equate that to him being weaker. I don't think it did. How can you really, if you're 6 foot seven, 275 pounds, because you lost 35 pounds of fat off your body, how can that be bad? But who knows? Everybody's, you know, everybody seems to have an opinion on that too. But CC is back up to his normal 305, so he will be having that jersey that's the size of my apartment just flapping in the breeze. Because he is a giant, and he likes his jersey and his uniform loose too. So, I mean, probably fit four regular-sized people in that thing. He seems cautiously optimistic. His attitude when in the interviews and stuff like that, it's a different CC. You know what I mean? He seems to be saying stuff like, the velocity is what it is. You know, he said that. He's the one who said, I've been in the league for 14 years and 34 years old, 15 years, 34 years old, and the velocity is what it is. So if he can be in the 91 range, top out at 93, every once in a while be able to reach back and get to 94 on very rare occasions, and learns how to pitch, learns how to develop some off-speed stuff, then you got to think the guy will be productive as a pitcher. Now, that's barring injury. He's got the microfracture, surgery talk that they were mentioning he should get that he didn't get. But he says he feels great. And he also, like I said before, seems to just have a more realistic approach to what he's able to bring to the table. He wants to start 30 games. He wants to hit 200 innings. Is that possible? Probably. What was he halfway? Oh, what was he last year? 14 and 13 or something like that. So he still pitches a lot of innings, involved in a lot of decisions, which means he gets deep into the game. And again, it's your guess is as good as mine what CC Sabathia is going to come to the table. We know he can't blow people away anymore. You know he can't hit that 96-97 on a consistent basis anymore like he used to. You know we're not going to want to, you know, stretch him, you know, to throw complete games 4 or 5 times. You know, it's just not going to happen. It's a new day. We're going to need CC Sabathia to be effective. And you're never worried about this with him, but he's going to have to grind. He's going to have to gut it out. When he doesn't have his good stuff, he's going to have to really kind of reach deep and develop that Andy Pettit-like mentality and will himself out of certain innings and out of trouble. And you know that's just going to be what it is. And it sounds to me like he's perfectly willing and able and ready to take on that challenge. Who else? Our old buddy. Going along, third in our list of question marks, Pineda. Seems a little different this year in that he does seem healthy and in shape. So he's not overweight. He's not, you know, in the middle of rehab. He's not trying to strengthen. He's, you know, he's back. He's a big dude. He throws hard. Mentally scares me a little bit. Like, you know, when he first came to New York and those the press would seem to like kind of come around him, and that would freak him out. And I was just wondering, does this guy have it upstairs? He's playing in New York now. You know what I mean? This is not Seattle. You're in New York, and you have to have a thick skin, and you got to be able to be mentally tough. So you always question that. And then what is this guy? I don't want to dwell on the pine tar, but what was he thinking? Like, what is this guy thinking in his mind to where he's going to get caught multiple times with pine tar? It's just embarrassing. Rothschild, who I love. I think Rothschild is one of the most valuable guys, you know, on the bench next to Joe Girardi. He's a good pitching coach. He knows his stuff. But I think he says, I think the quote was something like, I don't think he really understood the severity or that he wasn't. Like, I get the guy doesn't have good English. You can't make excuses. The guy knew he wasn't supposed to do it the first time. And if he didn't know it the first time, you damn well know he better have known that he couldn't do it the second time. So no excuses. Pineda, stay off the pine tar. One of the more gifted, young, hard-throwing arms in Major League Baseball. Big dude, big presence. And when he's on, he's as good. He's one of the good ones. He's as good as there is. It's just a matter of the same thing. Is he brittle? Can he stay healthy? And can he get us through? Like, if these three guys stay healthy and can pitch, and again, how are you going to say if? Because you know it just doesn't happen. But if they did, you might have something to talk about. You'd have three real good guys that can do some damage. Now you got Capuano, and that's what we talked about. He's probably going to end up being the fifth starter, but who? It's all semantics anyway. His job, and if you're talking about a fourth or fifth starter, his job is going to be to eat innings. He's got to be able to stay in control. He's got to be able to stay within himself. He's got to try to not do too much. But at the same time, you got to remember, we just talked about the front three guys who are all question marks. Now, ideally, they go out and get somebody. I can't believe they, you know, the old school Yankees, obviously, you don't want to be stupid with your money. You want to be fiscally responsible. But we could have gotten Scherzer. We could have gotten Shields. And Scherzer was expensive. So you don't want to go that route. That's fine. Shields, expensive too, but not quite as expensive. And at the same time, this is a guy who we probably could have used because he takes on innings. He gives you good quality innings. He's not. He probably is, honestly, a little overrated in terms of, you know, the nickname somebody gave him, Big Game James. He's not a Big Game James. He's not a big game pitcher, but he is an innings eater, and he could have been a good middle of the rotation guy. But basically, my point on Capuano is while he is looked at as an innings eater right now, look for him to possibly have to step into a middle of the rotation type of situation if, and I want to say when, even though the answer is probably when, one of those three guys up front or more goes down. What else? They also talked about the six-man rotation. So we also got well, let's get into Eovaldi first. So Eovaldi is a guy who came from the Marlins, and Rothschild was excited to get this guy because you looked at him as a project. You know, big, strong, young dude who throws in the high 90s and hasn't had the success that you would think of a big, strong, young dude who throws in the high 90s. Rothschild obviously fancies himself a pitching guru. I hope he does. He's a freaking pitching coach of the New York Yankees, so he better be. But he basically took Rothschild under his wing, and Eovaldi took him under his wing, and he's given him a good workout, basically trying to work on some off-speed stuff, make him more of a pitcher, make him just a better all-around option as a starter for the Yankees. And it seems like Eovaldi's really kind of embracing it. He seems like he loves working with Rothschild, and everything is good. It sounds like it's a love fest, and hopefully we'll be able to develop into something. He went, 6-14, 4.37 ERA on a not-so-good team. And what does that tell you? Yes, it's an awful, awful record, but it's a lot of decisions. He was a strong enough option to remain in those games with a weak team around him to be able to get to 14 losses. That's what it is, you know. So he had 33 starts, and he pitched 199 innings. And I think that was more than he has ever pitched so far. But, you know, I think you're talking about good upside with him. So basically, to sum up the starting five, the five-man rotation that we're going in with, tentatively, I guess, because I guess anything can happen. But Tanaka could be a superstar, could get hurt on his first spring training start. Sabathia, former superstar, probably never will be a star again, but if he can give you, you know, on the high side, maybe he can get you 15 to 17 wins if everything goes right. Pineda, very high upside. If he stays healthy, could be on that star level. He could be a number one. Pineda is a very talented guy who could be a number one starter, and hopefully he will once, you know, if he's healthy and he's in shape, that's possible. And then you got Eovaldi. Upside, his possibility is very high. Who knows? He may come out and shock the world. More likely, he'll kind of be a respectable guy, and, you know, he'll have those games where he seems unhittable, and he'll probably shut the whole team down. But on a consistent basis, he'll probably be a decent option and an innings guy. Capuano, journeyman, 36 years old. What are you going to get out of him? Best is probably an innings-eating guy. As far as the six-man rotation thing, I don't think they're going to really do that on a regular basis. Warren is the guy who is in the bullpen who they're going to stretch out probably from the beginning. He'll probably come into the camp as a starter, knowing he'll probably eventually end up in the bullpen, you know, maybe fourth of the way through the season. But in the beginning, to take some pressure off of these questionable and aging arms, we'll probably have Warren in that starting rotation in the beginning. So that's it. I just wanted to kind of go through the starting pitching one by one. We'll probably do by department over the next couple of podcasts. Maybe we'll tackle the bullpen next. We'll talk about some other stuff. What else is going on Yankee-wise? Nothing. Just excited about the season. Excited about getting going. And we will be listening closely to everything that happens in camp. We'll be taking notes, and we will be bringing it to you. Like I say, I'm going to try to go 3-4 days a week with these podcasts, and hopefully you're going to be listening. Check out Yankees and Gravy. Follow Yankees and Gravy on Twitter. please subscribe to this podcast, comment, whatever, until we are interacting. And guys, please, go easy on me. Like I said, I'm just a dude with a microphone in a room trying to kind of, you know, give a little bit of a, you know, like a little bit of a interaction, a little bit of back and forth about our favorite baseball team, the New York Baseball Yankees. Thanks, folks. We'll talk to you next time.